Welcome back. You're listening to Raw Thoughts from A, a space where I say the things I couldn't say back then. A space for softness, or truth, for anyone who's ever felt like they didn't belong. And today, this one's personal. This one's for every queer kid who grew up in silence. For the ones who had to hide behind straight smiles and cultural expectations. This episode is called Growing Up Gay and Asian in the 2000s. The silence, the shame, and the survival. And if this is part of your story, I want you to know you're not alone. You never were, even when it felt like it. Before I even knew the word gay, I knew I was different. I'd hear how the boys at school talked, how they laughed, how they flirted with girls, and I'd sit there wondering why it felt so foreign to me. But in an Asian household, especially one rooted in tradition, religion, and silence, you don't ask those questions, you just know the rules. Don't stand out, don't speak back, don't disappoint, don't bring shame. So I stayed silent. I swallowed my feelings. I studied harder, smiled more, performed politeness like it was survival. Because honestly, it was. Being gay was never just being gay. It was layered, like a wound wrapped in tradition, religion, and fear. There was a family layer. The constant reminders to make your parents proud. The guilt trips. The pressure to be the perfect son. To carry the weight of their sacrifice. They left their home country for a better life. How dare you live one they would not understand. Then there was the cultural layer. In many Asian communities, queerness is still taboo. Not just disliked, ignored, erased. There's no language for it. No aunties or uncles openly living their truth. No safe spaces at family gatherings. Just silence, or whispered judgment, or you're just confused. And then the external world. Growing up in the early 2000s was brutal. This was pre-Instagram, pre-Heartstopper, pre-Euphoria. We had Will and Grace, but even that felt like it wasn't made for someone like me. Brown skin, slanted eyes, Asian accent at home, where was I? School wasn't an escape. If anything, it was another arena to shrink myself. The jokes, the slurs, subtle side eyes when I spoke too softly, the internalized homophobia I didn't even have the language for yet. The way I laughed at jokes that hurt me, just to not be the punchline. And then came church. God, salvation, hell. Every Sunday I'd sit there listening to sermons that told me I was wrong. An abomination. A mistake. And I believed it. I prayed to be fixed. I begged God in tears at night. Please make me normal. Please make me like girls. Please make this stop. But it never did, because you can't pray away your truth, only bury it. And buried truth always finds a way to ache. By high school, I was living a double life. At home, I was that good Asian son, quiet, respectful, straight A's, smiled in family photos, never questioned authority. But inside, I was screaming, crushed by the weight of knowing that if they really knew me, they'd be ashamed. They'd disown me. They'd call it a phase. Or worse, a disappointment. And so I built walls. I lied when asked if I had a girlfriend. I deleted search history. I practiced how deep my voice should sound. I hated my body. I hated my softness. I hated me. And that's the most painful part. Not just being unloved by others, but learning to unlove yourself just to survive. There always comes a breaking point. Mine came quietly, not with a scream, but a whisper in the dark. I can't help pretending. I can't keep pretending. It wasn't a bold coming out. It wasn't rainbow flags or big speeches. It was more like exhaustion. I was tired of hiding myself, tired of hating myself, tired of chasing approval I was never going to get if it meant killing who I was. And slowly, painfully, I started choosing myself. Not fully, not loudly, but quietly, softly, day by day. Healing doesn't happen overnight, especially when you spend decades learning that love is conditional. But healing is possible. It starts by unlearning shame that was never yours to carry. Finding queer community, even if it's just one person. Reading stories like yours. Saying I deserve joy out loud, even when you don't believe it yet. Crying the tears your younger self wasn't allowed to shed. Forgiving yourself for surviving. And sometimes it means grieving the childhood you didn't get to have. The one where you got to be soft, free, unafraid. You didn't get that. But you can give it to yourself now. You can reparent your inner child. You can become the person you needed. If you're listening to this and still living at home, Still closeted, still scared, you are not weak. You're doing what you need to survive. And survival is a kind of courage people don't understand unless they've lived it. You don't owe yourself, owe anyone, your truth before you're ready. You don't have to come out to be valid. You're not less queer if you're still quiet about it. But one day when it's safe, when you're ready, I hope you choose yourself because you deserve to be loved without conditions, without shame, without hiding. So yeah, that's part of my story. A small window into what it's like to grow up gay and Asian in a world that wasn't built for you to thrive. But you know what? We're still here. We're still standing. We're still becoming. And if no one's told you lately, you are not a burden. You are not wrong. You are not too much. You're a miracle. You're magic. You're allowed to take up space. This has been Raw Thoughts from A. Thank you for holding this moment with me. Thank you for listening, not just with your ears, but with your heart. I'll see you in the next one. Until then, live softly, love loudly, and come home to yourself.